Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, friends. Welcome in to the Eric Zane Show podcast, the daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in the Impact Power Sports Studio. Impact Power Sports online at ImpactPowerSportsMI.com. More from them in a bit. It's Veterans Day, ladies and gentlemen. And this can be tricky. You have to be careful. You know, the idea of like approaching a person and you're convinced that they are a veteran. And then you like acknowledge them. It's happened where like a little boy who's maybe 8, 9 years old or a little girl goes up to a veteran and says, "Hey, happy, thank you for your service." And then they flip out and like say something bad to the kid and yell at the mom and dad. And then all hell breaks out. You're like, what is going on? And I learned that some of our beloved veterans do not like when you say that. Now, if the guy is wearing like the hat and, you know, it talks about, I'm a veteran hat. And then it says like his branch of the military and what conflict he was in, whatnot. I think that's a safe bet to say thank you for your service. I think that that would be received nicely because they're sending you the message that they are comfortable with the give and take, with the thank you, if they're willing to elect. I mean, that'd be a real curveball if guy is wearing, you know, a hat that he was like in the military during a combat zone or whatever, or in a combat zone, however that is. I don't know. I was not in the military. And you said, "Hey, Korea, thank you for your service." And then the guy like, screamed at you. You'd be like, "Well, wait a minute here. You're wearing the hat. What, am I supposed to ignore the hat?" It seemed to me that you would be receptive to me saying thank you for your service. I guess you are not. I think that would be tough. So I think that Veterans Day in particular, especially for non-veteran folks, it can be a real trap. Because you might have someone in your life or someone that you know, and you say, "Hey, happy Veterans Day. Thank you for your service." And they just, you know, unfriend you on Facebook, say something horrible, kick you. And you're like, "Well, wait, what?" And it's because they're not comfortable with that. I did an extensive bit of research about this, and this is what I have learned. Many veterans do feel uncomfortable, or they are not comfortable with public recognition due to a variety of reasons, such as feeling they didn't do anything special. Okay, and so the phrase, "thank you for your service," can feel like a hollow platitude, and some may struggle with issues like PTSD or adjustment disorders, which can make them prefer to avoid attention. I just heard from somebody today on Q100 who her husband is a veteran, and she said that she was going to bring him breakfast at work, and he's like, "No." And then she also indicated that at church over the weekend. They said, you know, the pastor's like, all right, all the veterans get on your feet. And he's like, oh, no. They would actually prefer to be shot at than to have to do that. You know, you kind of get a mixed bag. You don't know why some veterans dislike attention, feeling undeserving. Many veterans feel they were just doing a job and don't see themselves as having done anything extraordinary, making them uncomfortable with praise. Okay, now, if you're a veteran who works at a desk, you're right. That is not special. I mean, I understand it is helping the big picture of the war machine. But, you know, I think, you know, if that you would could feel that way. You could feel it undeserved if you were sitting at a desk. And let's be honest. They don't deserve our accolades if they're just sitting at a desk. I want to say thank you for your service to the guy who's low man on the totem pole in country cleaning out the toilet. And then on his downtime, he's shooting at Charlie. That guy who has to clean out the toilet is like, oh God, this is the worst job ever. I wish I was being shot at by Charlie so I could get a break. I mean, that's how screwed up that is. And let's be honest, in Vietnam, the technology was not the same. I mean, these guys are sleeping in hot box tents, and about the only thing that they can do is snort heroin just to pass the time. So these poor sons of bitches go in country. They clean toilets. They get shot at. They come back addicted to smack, and then their legs are cut off like Lieutenant Dan. They roll into JFK Airport, and these asshole hippies are spitting on them. Unbelievable. Unacceptable. Thank you for your service. The common phrase is sometimes seen as an empty or politically correct platitude, which can feel dismissive rather than genuine. Mental health challenges. Some veterans may experience conditions like post-traumatic stress disorder or other adjustment disorders that can cause anxiety, making them want to avoid situations that draw attention to themselves. Underlying issues. A general desire for privacy or a feeling of being out of place can also contribute to a veteran's unease with public attention. Now, if it were me, if I was in the military, and even if I had the desk job, and, you know, I had the opportunity to be like the Grand Rapids Griffins hero of the game. We do the hero of the game. And I would be like, yeah, oh, hell yeah. And then I would bring in a giant American flag and I'd wave it. And I'd say, yeah, come sit. Everybody buy me a drink. Come get me. Somebody come buy me a hot dog. I am full on taking advantage of that. I've got stickers all over the back of my car. I constantly wear the high and tight haircut. I got the hat on that says, I served. I was in country. I'm the shit. I do all that. Matt writes, thank the medics that treat all the STDs soldiers get from Shanghai Snatch. Not sure about that. I didn't know about Shanghai Snatch was can make you sick. Bob says, how do you feel about the veteran grandpa gaming? He's a Vietnam vet sniper who now streams playing Call of Duty, picking off noobs. That's great. Megan says, every part of the military is needed, even the desk sitters, of course. Let's see. Bob says it depends on the delivery. Probably doesn't go over well, said in Free Beer's snarky listener voice. Black Belt Nick says, yeah, I get that too from those I know. So I only say thank you to those I know or I see in uniform. David says, ignore them like you do the other 364 days a year. Okay. All right. Different points of view here. Ben says, remember the guy that was panhandling that said he was a veteran and you had Joe go call him out? That was a fantastic moment. This guy was on the corner and it was the news team, the local news channel was tipped off that he is not a veteran. And he had a sign that says, veteran, give me money. So he's making like six bills a day. And he actually was dumb enough to say on camera that he actually is not a veteran. So I went home and I got two giant chewy dog food boxes and taped them together. And then with water paints, painted the word liar on it with an arrow. And then I come into work and I go, okay, I want you to find this guy. Bring him to shoot video. You be talking to us on the phone. And then I'm going to go to you and you're going to be standing next to that guy holding the liar sign. And it went off like a charm. It went so perfectly. And this guy was so pissed off. He stormed away. And then there was a cop car that was watching it because they knew we were doing it because we were talking about it on the radio. So they were there watching. And the guy goes up to the cops. He goes, you going to do something about this? The guy, cop goes, why? What do you want me to do? He goes, well, he's harassing. And the cop goes, well, why? You got a sign? He's got a sign. What does it matter? So that was sweet. So much fun. Megan says, was that the guy by Steak and Shake on 44th? No. It was different part of town. I remember I stayed up. I had Madison paint it for me. I go, hey, I got it. She's a little kid at the time. I go, hey, got some fun. What is it? I want you to paint. I penciled it in. I want you to paint this. Make it like really pretty and stuff. Can you paint it for me? Okay, Dad. And that was that. Family affair. Great time. My idea. So, all right. With Veterans Day happening right now, be careful out there. The banks are closed. There will be no mail delivery. All right. I guess some are comfortable with it, some are not. I think it would be better to just, I mean, I'm not going to say anything unless if I encounter a guy with hat or guy with too many stickers on the back of his car. And what does that say? I think we've talked about this many times. What does that say about guy with too many stickers or the hats and the shirts? I do like the guy who's got the hat that, you know, he was on Iwo Jima or he was like on Heartbreak Ridge or the Battle of Midway sinking Japanese aircraft carriers. You know, the guys who are like 125 years old now, the World War II veterans. I wonder how many remain. I've asked this before on the big Google machine. Wow, there's a lot as of late 2025. So now there is an estimated 45,000 to 66,000 World War II veterans still alive. They are all in their 90s or older. Oldest living World War II veteran. Eileen Shokin, 112 years old as of November 10th, 2025. That's a dude, by the way. I-L-I-E. Okay, so if you're 112, let's do some easy math here. That means that Eiley was born in 1913. So you're looking at, you know, Eiley was, like, if, when, what year did the U.S. get involved in that war? 1942, something like that. So Eiley was probably right around 30. I've got another example of easy math for you that I keep meaning to talk about this and I keep forgetting. Elon Musk recently had a contract approved by the board of directors of Tesla. You know, they have to run everything by the board. And though it started out as his company. He's the main guy there, and he has to have his pay approved. December 7th, 1941 is the date that the U.S. got in the war. That was Pearl Harbor. That means that Eiley was 28 years old. The contract that Musk is now working under for the next 10 years is a $1 trillion contract. He is being compensated $1 trillion. That's fascinating. Now, I don't like to be the one to sit here and say and to complain about the wealth of people and the whatever. You know how, like, typically people say, oh, that's ridiculous. Well, what would you do? If someone wants to give you $1 trillion, what are you going to do? You're going to take it. If you've earned a $1 trillion contract, you take the $1 trillion. Now, I will say that it is a heavily incentivized contract. And there's a pretty good chance that he won't hit that mark, but let's just say, for the sake of this conversation, that he does. Let's fire up the easy math machine. In order to do the math on here, I have to hold the calculator sideways. Well, you have to open up the calculator app sideways on the phone. Otherwise, it'll look like there'll be a times and then an E and then cosine and all right. Per year. Hold on a second here. I'm screwing this up. Okay, that's $1 billion. Okay, this is actually what it looks like. This is $1 trillion. 12 zeros. Divided by 10. That means each year it's $100 billion. Most of you probably could have figured that out. $1 trillion is $999 billions plus another billion. So $100 billion a year divided by 12. Per month, $8,333,333,333. Per day. Per day, $273,972,602.73 $0.53. Divided by 24 hours. Elon Musk's hourly rate for the next 10 years is $11,415,525.11 per hour. Almost $11.5 million an hour. Per minute. Elon Musk, for every minute that passes for the next 10 years, will make $190,258.75. Per second. For every second that passes between now and the next 10 years, Elon Musk is going to make $3,170.97 per second. Every second that passes until 10 years, $3,170.97. That is one of the most fantastic illustrations that I think I've ever witnessed in my entire life. I don't know which one of those figures is the most impressive. The $1 trillion for 10 years. The $100 billion per year. The $273 million per month. The $11 million per day, the $190,000 per hour, or the $3,170 per second. All right. Let's just say, more easy math fun. You took $100 billion in a year that you earned. And then it just earned 7% with a simple investment. Time. Oh, shit. I'm fucking it up. Man, damn it. So many zeros. Okay. Times 0.07. The 100, yeah, I could have figured this out. That 100 billion at 7% is going to earn you 7 billion right there. What comes after trillion? I need to know that. Is it quintillion? What's after trillion? Yeah, I'm sorry, quadrillion, then quintillion. Sextillion and septillion. Wow! Oh my God. Now we're getting to a level where, you know, we're just one word away from words that just aren't used in language. Quadrillion. Yeah, I just signed a quadrillion-dollar contract. That sounds made up. Calculate how many fraud buses per hour now. Well, I tell you what. For 1 minute of time, Elon Musk could have bought the fraud bus and had $8,000 left over. Which, by the way, I just had a conversation with my multi-talented daughter, Jacqueline. And she just started working with someone who used to work. We have a new person here at work that he used to work in RV sales for 30 years. I showed him the fraud bus. and I talked about all the problems you've been having with yours. And he said that that manufacturer who made your RV, Thor Motor Coach, has multiple lawsuits against them because of quality. LOL. And I wrote, uh-huh, horrible, which is, I've known this for a long time. He said you should sell it. And I said, you're trying. I wrote, yeah, tell him I've gotten zero calls about it worth anything. Also tell him that I think the rest of the world is aware of the lemon that I bought, that I might be stuck with it. And she said, you should file a lawsuit. Correct. I should. But, again, they've made every reasonable attempt to repair it. So I don't know. I don't know how far that's going to go. And I don't want to sit through that shit. Megan says, zero calls because you haven't let me try to sell the damn thing for you. This is true. I haven't. I should. Call DC. But I've already committed to pulling it out of retirement. The fact that I used it once this year, put it on the market, nobody called. Season comes to an end. I run the pink shit through the through all the plumbing to winterize it. Re-added the what's that? There's that stuff you buy, and it makes the a stable. You put this. I put the stable fuel stabilizer in there, and then there you go. That was fun. Yeah, boy, 200 miles this year in the thing. Ah, it's fucking great. Fucking asshole. Megan says, but don't forget, EZ, the stories that you that make you money on the show, so it's a write-off. Absolutely is a write-off. 100%. When I talk to my tax guy, he goes, yeah, so what do you do in the fraud bus? I go, oh, I take it all over the U.S. I take it all over the country. I do shows from every state. Every mile is a write-off. Hello, friends. Your old pal Eric Zane with a word about ultra premium CBD gummies with real botanicals from my friends over at Secret Nature. This is like the best thing that's happened to me in a long time. I partnered with them. You can learn more at secretnature.com/Zane, and you'll also get a special deal there. But my gosh, during the daytime, I've got a daytime gummy that helps me stay focused, gives me steady lift. It's a fantastic, clean vibe within my system. Prior to Secret Nature, I found during the day that I was up and down, and I was like, what is happening to me? But ever since I started using the ultra premium CBD gummies with real botanicals from Secret Nature, those problems are in the past. And people say to me, EZ, when you're talking about this, what do you mean by a clean feeling? I'd say steady, balanced, not overpowering. I just get more done and feel better throughout the day. Probably because Secret Nature is organic, farm-grown, never lab-made. Ultra-premium CBD gummies with real botanicals. Nothing extra. The best in the business. Bliss is what I use during the day for clear focus and productive flow. I want to wind down? Snoozers. Unwind and rest at the end of the day. Consistent, measured CBD per gummy, so there's no guessing. Intentional formulations that feel clean and slot naturally into your routine. Now, this is where you try it. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. That's secretnature.com, code Zane. Try Bliss during the day, Snoozers in the evening, and let me know how it goes. Again, 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. secretnature.com, code Zane. Secret Nature. Hey, folks, it's EZ for my friends at Uncommon Goods. The holiday season is here, so start your shopping here. Go to uncommongoods.com. Click where it says Christmas shopping. You've got gifts for her, for him, for the grandparents, for the kids, for the teens, for your friends. Oh my gosh. Artisan, handcrafted, amazing gifts for you and yours. Truly, everything that is cool is found at Uncommon Goods. You can get lost on the website with the amount of products that are there. Uncommon Goods partners with some of the most creative people on the planet and puts all of their offerings on one spot for you to shop in the convenience of your home. I love Uncommon Goods and you will too. And don't forget that when you shop at uncommongoods.com, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses, and many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches. So shop now before they sell out this holiday season. And with every purchase that you make at Uncommon Goods, they give a buck back to a nonprofit partner of your choice. Wow. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. Don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zane. That's uncommongoods.com/Zane for 15% off. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Absolutely. Okay. So here we go. Great food giveaway happens on Tuesday, December 23. My amazing volunteers will be there. You in the audience, whoever wants to attend, just show up 1 p.m. December 23. Anytime between 1 and 3 p.m., actually. You don't have to be there right at the start of it. We get there. We help box up the food. Each box will have a Christmas ham, potatoes, gravy, corn, rolls, and a pumpkin pie or a pie of some type. People pull up. We put the food in. Away they go. This is going to cost thousands of dollars to fund it. I'm going to link it up again. I did it at the start of the show. I'll do it one more time. I'm going to be talking about this every day on the show leading up to the great food giveaway. If you can help out, Venmo at Eric-Zeitunian. Zeitunian. Cash App. $ Eric Zeitunian. All one word. PayPal. Search Eric Zane Show LLC. If you could drop some cash into our bucket as we pass the hat trying to raise funds to pay for all this food. Mike Ball is securing all of the details from the Standale Mire, that is the non-mutant mire. Matt says, with Snap being messed up.
Hey, no.
With Snap being messed up, can we add fudge rounds to the bags? Yeah, we should do it with like a picture of Oliver Anthony saying, here you go. Bob says, no vegetarian vegan option. Oh, there's absolutely there is. Well, first of all, these people have to seek us out to get the food. So they can either, we put the food in and then they're like, okay, I can't eat the ham. They can give the ham to their neighbor and then they can have a Christmas meal of potatoes, gravy, corn, rolls, and pumpkin pie. Outstanding. Problem solved. Rebecca says, I am excited for the great food giveaway. This is the first one that I'll be physically helping. Yeah, and you can do the work of four dudes with your strength. Which, by the way, I did not get a vice grip hug. Probably because you were seated in that booth and then it slipped my mind from the latest pinball tournament / pinball orgy that we had over at Pinball Land. With the fraud bus being talked about, I said to Pooh Bear, I go, all right, we're taking it back out. She said, yep. I go, okay, where do you want to go? And she brought up Mesa Verde. which is a several hundred years old archaeological dwellings carved into the side of a mountain in Colorado. I think the Pueblo Indians made this, and they ended up deserting the city. It's literally a city carved into the side of a mountain. Now, how fantastic is that? Let's take a look at Mesa Verde. You're like, I have never heard of this, EZ. Yeah, it's not really, just not a lot of people go to it, I don't think. I'm looking for a decent picture. All right, there you go. See these folks? They're walking through the little pathways of Mesa Verde. This whole city was carved into the side of a mountain. It looks almost miniature in these pictures, but these are the ruins of Mesa Verde, and you can go and explore. So we talked about this. Visiting Mesa Verde, the visit to the Cliff Palace, as it's known, and seeing the sights there. The thing that gets me, though, that keeps me from going to do this event, is I'm just not cut out for the distance. There's a rule in RVing, and I don't, the only way I can, if I follow this rule, it would take me a month to do this. The rule is 300 miles a day, done driving, it's a 333, 300 miles a day, done driving before 3 p.m., and only drive every third day. Or 3 days off. And I'm like, well, that's going to, what? If I drive 300 miles and then I have to wait 3 days, I mean, I'm going to get to fucking Illinois. Or, you know, the east side of Iowa. It would take me, all right, if I do that, and this is a 1,550-mile drive, if I did 300 miles a day every day, I would take 6 days. But times three, that's 18 days. I'm not doing that. In the past, when I've taken these trips to faraway places, like when I drove to northern Montana, 15 miles from the Canadian border, I did, let's see, how many miles? I think that was maybe even more. I'll just say it's about the same. I did it in 3 days. So you're driving for 8 to 10 a day for three consecutive days. It's such a brain suck. Imagine that. So I said to Pooh Bear, I go, look, if we do this, we need to start the day and then drive for like four, and then pull over and go to sleep for like 3 hours and then wake up and finish it. Let's try that. And she's like, okay, yeah, great. Now, all she's doing is sitting there reading books, you know, building puzzles, drinking, baking a pizza and eating it. Nick says it's about the journey, not the destination. Yeah, I hate the journey. The journey sucks shit. Good suggestion. Cole says maybe take a shorter trip as a practice run to make sure nothing breaks. Rebecca says drive to Elkhart, Indiana, because at least that's where they manufacture the RVs, which is true. That this one was made there. Maybe they'll allow trade-in for an old model. I used to do 30-hour round trips to D.C. every other weekend for 3 years. It drains you big time. It's so bad. And then the road plays tricks with your brain. So Pooh Bear is like, maybe we just go to Tennessee, half the distance. All right. I think it's like 750 miles or 800 miles or something like that. Drive 400 one day, Walmart parking lot, 400 the next day, you're done. But I've been to Tennessee 8 million times, but it's still awesome. That's the place we visited the most. So perhaps that will be, I go, what about like another place that's like the same distance away? And I'm looking at, I'm like, oh, what, like St. Louis? Great. I don't know. I love the parks, though. I just love the parks. All right. So there you go. Talked about the great food giveaway there. Talked about the trip that I haven't yet completely planned. But if you could, I would like to start seeing some cash trickle in. I know it's always weird for me to ask for the cash for the great food giveaway, but that's how we do it. We pass the hat around. We collect all this money. We buy thousands of dollars of food. It's completely transparent. Everything is made available to you as to our purchases that we make for this. Thank you to Megan. She just sent some cash. I appreciate you so much. And then that kind of gets the ball rolling. You know, it's always tough to ask for cash for folks who might be strapped for cash. But I want you to know, I keep these silent. I mean, I might say, hey, thank you to so-and-so, but I'm not going to announce who gave what unless you tell me to. But if you could, just drop in $5 or $10 via the ways I talked about, and off you go. We also have a wish list for the feminine hygiene products. As of right now, I've shared it a few times. I just shared it twice today on the live stream, and I'll share it in the show notes. But if you're thinking about helping, you can also help out by buying any one of these products that are on the wish list. You just click on the link. It takes you right to it. You'll add to the cart. It's an Amazon wish list. You buy. It is mailed. You don't have to do anything. After you buy, it is mailed off to Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. We're looking for 150 of each of the first three items, 200 of the fourth, and 50 of the fifth. That's over $4,000. I don't think we sold out last year, but we did get a whole lot of these. So the package is then delivered to Irvine's December 23. We all meet. We give away the food. We give away the pet food with Grand Rapids Pit Bull Alliance. We give away the feminine hygiene products, and away we go. Call it a day, and then we relax. Thank you to someone. That would be Nick W. Sent along cash via PayPal. You're very kind. Appreciate that so much. You and the multi-talented Marty and your handsome devil son, Sean. Thank you to you. When, by the way, Nick, is your big next degree of black belt test so that, I think you might have told me, but I already forgot, so that I can observe you getting tested? I would like to see that. May. Matt says, I am going to send muff missiles again and maybe some morning after pills. We have enough pores. I'm not sure what muff missiles are. And I don't think we're collecting morning after pills. Megan says, I was worried I'd accidentally scare Nick or Marty. I didn't want them to kick my ass at pinball. All right. What the hell is that mean? I got the Veterans Day talk, great food giveaway. Oh, Big Fraud Book Club is tonight. I've got 80 pages to read between now and 6 p.m. I will send out the reminder on Patreon. It is a Patreon show. We are reading the book, Walk in the Shadows. God, I can never remember it. By Brent Weeks. Walk in the Shadows. I think that's it. Can you tell me? Walk in the Shadows. Brent Weeks. I don't think that's it. The Way of Shadows. Son of a bitch. Why do I keep doing that? As we follow the progress of this character, Kyler, as he makes his way through the politics of the Warrens and the conspiracies that are taking place. Very, very interesting, exciting read. Well, I shouldn't say it's exciting. In fact, it's actually quite dull at times. In my own opinion, I wish that this book, there's moments when I like it when it gets to be a page turner, but in my own opinion, it's too few and far in between. Nearly working on my way to being halfway done with this book by today, and I'm like, okay, that's a lot of book to cover, and I don't really like, oh, cool, I get to read more. All right? Right now, I give this book I give it 3 stars out of 10. And this is because of that. I'm like, edit some of this shit. You don't need to tell me all this stuff. I find myself trying to speed read through it. And then when it does get good, I'm like, all right, more of this. More of this. It's starting to annoy me, this book. And Black Belt Nick is the one who recommended it. All right. So Nikki Six, good recommendation. Martyr, for 9/10 of the time that we were reading it, it was a huge pile of shit. And it only got redeemed because of our discussion about it. And this book, as of right now, is a total dog. I'm still reading it, and I will stick with it, but for the love of God, all I want to do on Book Club is read a book that I can't put down. Now, even with Nikki Six, which I did like that book, I still wasn't like, oh, I can't wait to read more. It's so good. It was all right. I think we have gotten some horrible efforts by the audience members when it comes to choosing books. The next book we're going to read is Stevie picked it. It's about some guy who I think is a chick or is a girl or something like that. I mean, Stevie is, you know, Stevie. She loves that stuff. She loves like reading about people. All boys aren't blue. So I don't even know what this book is about. Alan says, rest in peace, Big Fraud Book Club. I can't agree with that. All Boys Aren't Blue Wiki. It's a young adult book. It's going to be a disaster. It's a young adult nonfiction memoir manifesto by journalist and activist George M. Johnson. Great. An activist. It consists of a series of essays following Johnson's journey growing up as a... Now, look, and you can't get mad at me over this. I'm just busting balls. We're going to read it. I just want a winner on Book Club. And it's not a great vibe when I have to start reading children's books about a dude who's gay and wants to be a chick. All right, she's laughing. That's good. In addition to describing Johnson's own experience, it directly addresses black queer boys who may not have someone in their lives with similar experiences. Despite mostly positive reviews from critics, All Boys Aren't Blue has been subjected to multiple attempts of censorship, becoming one of the 10 most banned and challenged books in the United States in the early 2020s. Well, that's interesting. Because, you know, you get the usual MAGA butt fucks who are all gay. And, you know, he who doth protest the most, they want to try to prove that they're to the world that they're not gay. So then they say, yeah, man, we got to get together. We got to ban his book. Let's get this. Let's go raid the school and kick the librarian's ass and shit. So I like that. That's why I want to read that book. Nick says, yeah, I'm not looking forward to that book, but I will read it and maybe learn something. Yeah, I like to compare the books. You know, right now, of the three, 2.5 that we've read, Nikki Sixx, who knew that Nikki Sixx would be more popular, in my opinion, than one written by a guy who, he might have won a Pulitzer Prize, this Kaveh Akbar, I don't know, I think he's a dick. And then Brent Weeks is a dork. What a crock of shit. Book club could be a lot better if we didn't have to read so many asshole books. Good God. All right, but I'll hang with it. And we meet tonight at 6 p.m. on Patreon. So if you like books and you like hearing discussion about books or just hear stupid people bitch about books, that would be me, not you. The book club is for you on Patreon. Big Fraud Book Club. Patreon.com/Eric Zane. Trump is saying that the price of gas is going to plummet to less than $2. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. There's a guy in Michigan named Patrick DeHaan. You know how, like, different people have different interests? Like, you know, Nick here is interested in kickboxing. What do you call it? Rebecca is interested in working out and lifting weights. We all have our side things. Patrick DeHaan is interested in gas prices. That's his life's work. So much so that he created a website and he has become the nationwide authority on gas prices. Like, there's one guy who knows everything there is to know about the cost of gasoline, and it's Patrick DeHaan. Trump said when he was in Asia that the price is going to drop below $2 a gallon, quote unquote, pretty soon. It's not. He has suggested, he said for a while, a drill, baby, drill. But from what DeHaan is learning, the mantra to increase production has made zero impact on domestic production of fuel. Oil and fuel production, drilling and production has remained relatively stagnant over the last 10 months. With it going up about 50,000 to 100,000 barrels a day. So policy is not law. Trump's desire for oil companies does not compel them to produce more crude. Yeah, what most Americans don't realize is that the people that are drilling are business entities. They don't take orders from the president about how much crude that they can pull out of the ground. DeHaan says the wild card that could help gas prices is OPEC increasing production, which has been happening on a nearly monthly basis. Right around where we live right now, Gas is as low as $3.06 a gallon and as high as $3.22 a gallon. The nationwide average is $3.07 a gallon. DeHaan says $2 nationally is next to an impossibility. He says, keep in mind that that only happened during Trump's first term at the height of the pandemic when the demand was so low. And then that disappeared by the time his first term was complete. So that's not happening. It's dumb to even engage in that conversation. Price of gas is not going down. We're stuck with it. I'm not looking. Okay, Badger says he tries to cut his wiener off in chapter 4 of All Boys Aren't Blue. Joe Martinez, hey, he's starting a sentence with the words, I told you. Every sentence this dummy starts is with, I told you. And context-wise, I don't know what this moron is saying. I told you, give it another 3 months and it's dead. What? You realize I get a lot of these comments well after the fact. To what are you referring to, King of Spanglish? Bob says the problem with an average is the price in California is like $6 a gallon. California gas price average. It is $4.70. So way off, but still high. All right. I'd love it if it dropped that low, but I don't think it will. Thank you to the sponsors that make this show possible, including Impact Power Sports. If you want a Yamaha golf cart powered by either gas or propane, you got to go to Impact Power Sports. Not only do they have golf carts from Yamaha, the best in the business, you can get an ATV side-by-side, a UTV, a motorcycle, an e-bike, a go-kart, snowmobile, lawnmower, my gosh, scooter. Full service department. Reach out to them, ImpactPowersportsMI.com. They are in Rockford, Michigan. Drop by and say hello to Drew and Ron and the crew. They are going through another sale from what I'm understanding. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.